High on Prescott is paid for by Chad DeVries. And with Tony Humer, they are solely responsible for its content.
Ladies and gentlemen of Prescott, it's time for a change. We, the people of this vibrant community, demand honest, upfront communication. No more beating around the bush or serving up half-baked solutions. We're here to shake things up, challenge the norms, and deliver unfiltered information with a healthy dose of irreverence and boundless curiosity. Our mission? To be your voice, to bring you all sides of the story, and yes, to inject a bit of humor into the mix. We're passionate about the quality of life in Prescott, and we know you are too. Join us as we embark on a journey to keep it real, keep it informative, and most importantly, keep it engaging. Welcome to our platform, where transparency meets a touch of wit. And now your hosts, Tony Hamer and Chad DeVries.
Chad, in the last week here, we've spent time with three of the major players in roads and transportation in the Quad Cities area. They are Mike Fan of Fan Contracting, who's got 60 years of infrastructure design, development, and construction in our area.
Yeah, and we also had Vinny Gallegos, the head of SIMPO, which is Central Yavapai Metropolitan Planning Organization.
And then finally, we've got the notorious Ted Gambogi, a new member of Prescott City Council, who always has good views on everything. Well, we interviewed those city civic leaders and have summarized their views in the following podcast. We have a present planning process within Prescott, Prescott Valley, the Quad Cities overall. How do you see that planning process? Is it something that you believe is appropriate for where we are in Yavapai County these days?
Well, I think we've got, between SIMPO, Central Yavapai Metropolitan Planning Organization, which leads the regional planning, and then the Public Works Department of our various agencies, and county, and ADOT, for that matter. I think we've got some extremely talented people that almost all of them have lived here, that I know, have lived here a long, long time, and they really do have the community's best interest at heart. So I think when they are planning for transportation in this area, they do it from not only from the head, but from the heart.
Well, that's reassuring for our audience to hear right there.
25-year transportation plan. That 25-year transportation plan is updated every 5 years. It takes into account the general plans, the development, the current population, the projected population. It's an incredibly comprehensive document. It's about 300 pages.
Right.
The local governments are really the authors of it. So we're getting all the information directly from the local governments. We're looking at things like traffic flow, traffic numbers, safety. We're looking at pavement condition. What is the investment in our infrastructure, and at what point does it crumble too much that it's not repairable anymore? So think about this. We have a document that looks to the next 25 years and prioritizes our projects and says, look, if you don't do anything to Highway 69 today, here's the problem you're facing in the future.
Ted, I'm going to go slightly in a different direction now, but infrastructure and road planning. We have SIMPO out there doing a job in terms of helping cities come together in a coordinated fashion around Yavapai County. Is that what we should be doing in terms of planning? How successful is SIMPO in terms of influencing decisions and really creating a planned approach here?
Well, I've said to SIMPO many times what I said to you, with you guys earlier, that is, begin with the end in mind and recognize that Prescott is an island.
We have excellent and seasoned people in planning, design, development, and construction. You know, it does seem like things have gotten very, very difficult over the last 5 to 10 years here. Increasingly difficult and increasingly away from good information being available so that everybody can understand all sides of the story. Again, am I over-exaggerating that?
No, I think there is a lack of both sides of stories here. I'm glad you're doing what you're doing because I think it gives more people more perspective. I mean, the bottom line is we want a citizenry that is well-informed and can make good decisions. When it comes to voting for all of our representatives, whether it's city or county or state, a well-informed voter base ends up making sure we've got the best people making the right decisions.
Our current plan is 2020 to the year 2045. We are now, in 2 months, going to start the very next plan, which will be 2025 to 2050. It's going to be a 12-month process. You, Chad, and everyone else listening to your podcast and radio show needs to be engaged. What do you want in this community? What do you want it to look like? So we take public input and data.
That's very interesting, and as Chad knows, I'm the one that believes we should paint a picture of what Prescott and Yavapai County will right. look like in the future and drive towards that, because it will simplify a lot of these individual decisions if they're on track to a picture that everybody has bought into. So I'm very pleased that you're telling us about the regional transportation plan. I think that's very powerful.
Well, and if I can just say one quick thing real to your point, Tony, then I would say this, we'll go ahead and be guilty on Simpo's end, it's the best kept secret. And that's an unfortunate thing, which motivates me to get it out more, because what you just described is what that is. This is the vision for our infrastructure network as it is today and as it is for the next 25 years. And I do hope that you and Chad and others listening will actually look at it and furthermore participate in the next one. Is there something you like or don't like? Well, add your voice to it. That's what's going to shape the vision.
Well, let me ask you this. In the last plan, I mean, I know that we have the 89 widening over there by the Dells. My understanding, that was implemented about 10 years ago for funds from ADOT. Is that correct?
You know, to be honest with you on that, Chet, I don't know the specifics on the ADOT improvements, or at least it's not ringing a bell with me. It sounds familiar.
Okay.
But again, as a regionally significant route, that is a part of this plan. Again, right. I mentioned earlier, 145 miles, that's part of the system. Simpo looks at the big picture. I know we get a lot of publicity for individual projects,
right.
but please understand, we're looking at the big picture. On any given day, how do 145,000 people move around? Do they drive through the Dells? Do they go 89A around Prescott Valley? Whatever it is, we're looking at the big picture and we're trying to figure out the best possible system, period.
Well, and I think people don't understand that this takes time, you know. It's just like even when we're on the campaign trail talking about the Sundog Connector, like you said, even if you started today, it could, you know, be upwards of 5 years before implementation of it. And I think with the population growth that we have, and we haven't really expanded, I mean, those things have to be considered instead of just jumping on whatever the hot topic is at the time. People need to research, you know. We had Mike Fannin here, which was great the other day, and, you know, we have a grading system I wasn't aware of on roads. I mean, he says we're close to getting an F rating on our roads for safety. And, you know, to me, when we...
Specific roads.
Yeah, specific roads. So, you know, when we go out and talk to people, public safety is everything, you know. And I don't know if you saw 2 weeks ago that terrible accident over by the Dells. I mean, that was backed up for miles. It took them an hour to go around Prescott Valley. I mean, if there was a major emergency and there's an accident there, I mean, those are things that I guess you're telling us with your planning, and you probably have an estimation on population growth over those next 25 years. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And Chad, you hit on so many great points. So let me just take one, and then if you want to move on from that, we can. But let's talk about safety for just a few minutes. Again, go back to Tony's question about what are we most proud of in the last 5 years. Mm. We're just completing, this is a separate plan, we're doing a safety plan. It's a standalone plan that looks solely at safety. Right. Fatalities and crashes for the last 5 years.
So what would you do differently in terms of a general plan right now? From your experience, having gone through half the process here, and from what you see in terms of its lack of guidance in terms of specific decisions, what would you do differently?
That's the $64,000 question.
That's why I asked.
You can't make it a legally binding document. Now, at the beginning, one of our members, Ralph Hess, tried to put the general plan in the city charter, so you can't make it legally binding at the state level, but if you put it in the city charter, it would make it legally binding at the city level. That would be an address, except for the fact that you would have to vote on elements of that, and you don't vote for every 2 years. So when a developer comes, he doesn't want to wait for 2 years to get a decision to it. I don't know of any magic wand that would fix it, other than what I've said is when you go to the ballot box, right, or you get it at home, sit down and read it and read all the elements in it, because you might see something in there. You wanted to talk about roads later. Yeah. You might see something in there about the Sundog Connector or 89 Expansion or Rosser Road, right, or Williamson Valley Road, and you better make sure that when you vote, you're voting from a knowledge perspective. You're not voting at 80,000 feet where it looks good. You got to get into the details of that because you're a stakeholder in this process. But how are you going to move traffic in this Quad City area in the year 2050?
You know, I think that's very illuminating, Ted. I really do. So north, south, and east, west at a high level need to be looked at strategically in terms of how we move people within the Prescott and within the Yavapai County area. And should there not be a plan which people have that in mind as we talk about roads within Prescott?
This is a multifaceted answer. It's not just this road or that road. It's and the other thing I know is one of your pet peeves is potholes. And having lived in places like Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Michigan, and Illinois, I can tell you we're doing pretty good compared to what I experienced in those cold climates, because you got heating, you got thawing, and I know you're a chemical engineer, so I hope this resonates with you. But the difference between Michigan that Chad can attest to is when it snows in Halloween, and we see grass in Easter. So it snows every, you don't see the sun. But here, you go out and shovel, and then a couple hours later, the sun's out there baking the driveway dry, except the Sunday to go to Mass.
It's there to assist your shoveling.
It's there to assist. So I would contend, from a thermal perspective, that we get more heating and cooling because of the sun, so you're going to get more popping on those roads. If there's a way we could reduce traffic, that would help the roads a whole lot. If there's a way where we could have a ban on EV cars that put a 1,000-pound battery in, where instead of you got an 80-gallon gas tank, there's a multifaceted address to the traffic and the roads here, and it's not just one thing.
And Tony, we often found that we have deep expertise in roads and transportation is available, but often ignored and passed over to the individual perspective and from the neighborhoods and the decision-making process.
You know, that's great to hear for a taxpayer to hear we're using the best available technology is about as good as it gets, isn't it? What are your major concerns as we look forward in terms of the next 5-10 years in Yavapai County and the associated municipalities? What are your biggest concerns from an infrastructure standpoint?
Oh, I think we're doing a fairly good job as a community, with the exception of some projects that have stalled out that the data says we need them. The data says they're going to fail, and in short, we are failing to address them. So I would say projects that are stalling out, mainly because of people in neighborhoods don't want them.
And not in my backyard.
Yeah, I hesitate to use a NIMBY, but I think there's some of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, our leaders need to step back and make decisions what's best for the community, what protects people, what is protects the health and safety of our citizenry, and keeps us out of litigation also. I think making decisions when publicly our transportation officials have said we're going to reach a service level of F and we don't do anything about it and there is injuries and accidents, I think we're really exposing ourselves to some litigation that said, you know, you guys knew it was coming and you allowed it to happen. Well, that's there. You have some culpability there.
You know, that's a very good point in terms of an influence area there. It really is. Thank you for that. One of the big problems I see out there, and I'll get Chad to comment on this as well, is that we can develop good plans, we can develop good action plans to make that happen as well, but then we get into the political process. Now, you have a particularly difficult job in terms of your stakeholders within SIMPO and the multiplicity of decisions which are going through those stakeholders as well. How is it that we can manage that process better?
Great question, but I don't understand this thing you call politics. We don't do any of that. That's
not, no, it's not you guys, no.
No.
It's the other everybody else.
Here's the danger, and this is a real shout-out to my staff, and I'll include me in that. You know, I have a real dynamic team. We really do. I'm so, so proud. And here's the problem with them being so dynamic. Sometimes we make it look a little too easy. You know, because really, there is the politics of it. I started this time with us to get together today describing who I answer to. So again, we can have the best possible plans, we can have the best staff, we can have the best recommendations. It's again, those that are elected by the community. If you will, these five representatives represent the total of 33 electeds in our region. So on any given day, you know, my primary focus is to those five that sit on my board. But on any given day, I try and have a relationship with the other, with the total 33, because, again, these are the elected. So to your question, what can be done? Again, it's always going to be about engagement of who your electeds are, who they're listening to, and providing that voice to them on any given topic that SIMPO's doing. What is our priority? So you're right, Tony. We do have some incredible plans. I only hit on a few today. We have other plans that are in the works. We're looking at, you know, safety projects. We're looking at corridor projects. We're looking at bicycle pedestrian improvements. We're looking at bringing federal funds to pay for these things. Because let me be clear, it's not just about SIMPO saying, well, here's our list of problems, but we need to be problem solvers.
Right.
So, yes, it's always going to, politics is a part of it. And depending when you check in on me, some days it's a little bit more frustrating than others, but that's a part of our organization and society, so we work as best we can within that.
My question to you on that is, how can we stop the influence, or how can we in fact get more people together on major projects in this area?
That also is a $64,000 question, because you know there's
64 million.
No, the original one. The original was 64,000. Okay, with inflation, 64 million. You know, I've been on the city council. I was on, not city council, but the planning commission, I think, for 5 years, 6 years or so. And the thing that strikes me is this is a town of 47,000, and there's 50 people in city council chambers.
Right.
They represent 50 people. They don't represent 47,000.
Well, it's good to know we have leaders who have expertise and intensity and passion on the road and transportation plans for our communities.
However, Tony, our problems are more than about getting the city and town councils to back the plans and enable resources to flow so they can be executed in a timely fashion. for elected bodies to be swayed by only the people in city council chambers and to disregard the experts and also the majority of the community is not a demonstration of wisdom, in my opinion.
Absolutely. It's not democratic at that point. It's bowing to the whims of a few people. And we must avoid that in this complicated area. Then we're also going to add in here some comments from on the streets. We're going to be out in the courthouse square and find some illuminating and reinforcing views. Now, north-south in Prescott's quite difficult. You've only got Willow Creek and SR89 as well. What do you think they should do about north-south traffic in particular?
89, it doesn't seem like they can do a lot about it because you're in the Dells. Willow Creek, I wish they would do a lot more as far as it's winter about snow removal and such.
Yeah.
I do believe that they've done a lot of improvements. It's wider. And since I moved here 25 years ago, so...
So you're a Prescott resident and have lived here 25 years. Is that right?
Yeah, so I guess I qualify as a native, according to statistics.
You sure do. You sure do. Tell me about the SR89 and the Dells. And, you know, it's a two-lane road going through the Dells right now. The rocks have been carved out once already. Would you object to them being carved out and another 20 feet put on that road in width?
I would. I mean, just because we moved here because of the beauty of the landscape, and I know there's, you know, progress, but, you know, maybe people can travel 69 and go around when they need to get out to Mingus or Cottonwood or such. You know, I'm a proponent of preserving what a lot of us have moved here for.
Roads and transportation are a big issue here in Prescott. Being relatively new to the area, how do you see the transportation? How do you see the roads? Is it sufficient for your needs?
Well, it's interesting. Again, everything is... a choice in how you choose to look, and then you can compare to other places. But I would say I've even noticed since I've lived here an uptick in the traffic, that the patterns where people are driving. They're trying to find, like ants, they're trying to find the better mousetrap to get to where they need to get. And with the communities being built farther and farther out and people wanting to come into Prescott, they're kind of carving these roads, and some of the roads are getting quite busy, but also people drive really fast on the smaller roads because they're trying to make up time or go around the back way. But we live off of Willow Creek, and we call it the racetrack. And there's a lot of opportunity to go quite fast there. And so people try to make up time or let their glass plaque pack flare in their truck or whatever it is. It's an area in the motorcycles. We hear them at night racing. You know, and the fact that you've got, I don't know, at least two or three lanes with no divider and curves. And if you've distracted for 1 minute, it's very easy to run into oncoming traffic.
The conversation we just had with these ladies is very revealing in terms of there's a major segment of the population just want to keep everything as is, as when they moved here, and don't want any improvements at all. That's my conclusion. But, Chad, how about yours?
Well, I think Mike Fan brought up a great thing about the rating system. I mean, that section of road right now, if we do not implement that, and my understanding, I went to a city council meeting, and they've been waiting for that money from ADA for over 10 years. Okay, if we don't accept that money, it's going to go back to the federal government, and we're going to get an F rating. So I don't know about you, Tony. If my loved one died on there, I mean, is it better to save a rock and not a life? I mean, there's been so many deaths on that road. We even had one, I don't know if they died or what, but we had a major pile up there a week and a half ago, and people had to go an hour through Prescott Valley, an hour and a half this way and that way, and if we had another emergency, it would be crazy. I mean, I think people really need to look at the situation, look at the area. I mean, we're not talking about much of the, you know, but we're looking at 10 feet on each side. And at the end of the day, you're not even going to notice it. At the city council meeting, they had a professional there that's been doing this for 40 years. He knows how to cut the rocks. He knows how to do it right. Back in the day when they put the train through there, they didn't give a, you know what, about it. They just blew the rocks out and they put the train through. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Chad, you bring up a great point. You know, for any of us who've worked in industries and seen life around, life is very, very important. Life is really what it's all about. And all of the city services should be done with, in mind, the safety and lives of our citizens.
Well, and I think Vinny G, which we call him, he went into it, and we had 56 deaths last year in Yavapai County. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's unreal. I'm sorry, but one death's too much, and we're never going to get to zero deaths, but 56 deaths, can you imagine that? Count to 56, and that's a person, that's a human being, and you know we're worried about putting roads in when it's a public safety issue. And we heard that on the campaign trail, Tony, left and right, public safety.
Public safety is number one. So, you know, this has been a particularly good show, I think, in terms of emphasizing safety, emphasizing that we have technically good processes and plans, and we need to shepherd them through. We need to get support for each of these plans, and that is going to be the job of city council members, for example.
Well, and everybody stated, from Ted to Mike to Vinny, and community engagement. I mean, we've got to get the community involved. The other day, which was very disappointing, you know, had 20, 30 people at a city council meeting, vote, and they were the biggest voice, so the city council voted down a new cell tower 6-1. I've been driving out Williamson Valley past Pioneer Parkway out to Talking Rock Ranch and even Las Vegas Ranch for several years. I could not even make a cell phone call during that stretch. And you think about the public safety of calling 911. A lot of people do not have home phones now. They have to go through Wi-Fi. And if spark light's down or whatever, we need a tower there. There's no reason not to have a tower. My problem is people on the city council live in the city. They do not live in North Prescott. And we've been seeing that throughout even when we were campaigning, that the North Prescott has been forgotten.
You know, excellent points, Chad. I think now, though, that we should talk a little bit about our next show here. We're putting together a very innovative show in terms of taking one of the newer restaurants in town, spending some time with the owners in terms of their process for getting into business here and how it was to work with the Economic Development Department here in Prescott. So that's going to be the next show. Now, if you're listening to this and you have comments on the show and you'd like us to accept some feedback, we will accept it. You know, all you need to do is go onto Facebook, where we have a presence now. We also have a website, Ion Prescott. We also have a live stream camera down here in downtown, and that's on prescottlive.com. And you have plenty of avenues there to express your opinions, get back to us in terms of how you would like us to evolve the show at this point. So please, don't be shy and come back to us. Is that okay, Chad?
That sounds great to me. Just come back. Check out PrescottLive.com. It's the only live downtown camera that you can tune in on your TV, on your phone, and you can see what's happening down at the town square. I mean, you know, we're Tony and I are here to give fair and balanced and all sides of the story, and we love our town. So we hope you tune in. We want you to go to Spotify, go to our website, go to Facebook, Ion Prescott, and, you know, we look forward to the next show. Thank you for tuning in.
You've been listening to Eye on Prescott. We adore living here, and we want to be your voice to ask the tough questions, hold officials accountable, and you'll never hear us running from a debate. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon on Eye on Prescott.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the host and guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the radio station.